So it is a joy for me to be here. Really, we want to thank you for your prayers for us as a family. We really feel your prayers. We know that you have been praying for us and you continue to do so. And we really need it and we really appreciate it. And, you know, as I was listening to some of the announcements, truly this is a praying assembly. We're praying for each other, praying for those of us and our loved ones who are sick. And really, there is nothing like prayer. And we just want to say thanks. You know, we just would ask that you continue to remember us in prayer. And we thank you for this. What I want to read today is some, you know, encouragement. And it's found in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. If we could just turn to it. And I'll kind of explain some of my thoughts. Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first chapter, so I'll get going. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave the names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make in danger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children of that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and he proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king commanded them, and all that was with them was found, none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. So earlier this year at our assembly at Snydertown, we had finished our reading in one of the other books. And we went to the brothers' meeting, and a brother suggested, why not take up the book of Daniel? And well, me being the new kid on the block, I didn't really want to do it. But I didn't want to, you know, say anything that would get anyone upset. Because what happened is I was at another assembly a few years ago, And we took up the book of Daniel, and I had a rough time with it. And I said, oh man, I have to go through this again. And I really was saying, okay. So it went ahead, and now we're almost finished the book in the study, and the brethren took it from a different perspective, and I was happy. But the Lord proves us that, you know, sometimes we think one way, but he has a different message for us, and he has something for us to learn. And I didn't want to take up the book, but then the Lord has blessed me with so many wonderful thoughts through the ministry meeting and the Bible reading. It has really been a blessing for me. And one of the thoughts that I want to bring out is about these four young men. I read a few commentaries. They said now Daniel was about 17 years old, give or take, when he was taken into captivity. And by the end of the book of Daniel, he was 85 years old. See, you know, I always thought that he was a young man all the way through, but at the end of Daniel, he was 85 years old. So if you count that, approximately, that's about 68 years of faithfulness. 68 years of faithful service to the Lord. Man, that is wonderful. 68 years of consistent faithfulness to the Lord. You know, I want, when the time comes, if the Lord should not come by that time, that someone could look back and say, man, that brother, he was faithful. Man, that brother attended the meetings when he could. That brother shared a word and gave encouragement when he could. That brother served the Lord to where the Lord had called him. Faithful service. Man, 68 years. 68 years. When at the job the other day, talking about anniversaries and weddings, and he looked at me and says, Pearl, how long you've been married? So I said, okay, let me think. Sorry, babe. And I said, I was married 18 years. And they said, wow, wow. Me, no big deal. But it was a big deal to them because in that group was a young lady and she's on her third husband. And they are so amazed to see a relationship that lasts over 2-3 years. This is not what's found in the world. Relationships that are founded on Christ, founded on the rock. And it's just amazing when you see that. So keep your testimony, keep your faithfulness, and God will reward you. So each of these young men had a name change. So Daniel, was his Hebrew name, was changed to Belteshazzar. Hananiah's name was changed to Shadrach. Mishael's name was changed to Meshach. And Azariah's name was changed to Abednego. Now, Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, which means Bet's prince, or whom Bel favors. Now, you see, this is one of the tricks of the enemy. You see, by giving Daniel and changing his name and giving him a place of honor, the king thought that this would change Daniel. And what happens is that many today are concerned about making a name for themselves. Many today are concerned about their place in society. Many today are concerned, hey, look at me. Look at who I am. Look at what I've achieved. I don't only want to be a worker. I want to be the vice president. I don't only want to be the vice president. I want to be the CEO. I want to be known as Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. And they want to have a name for themselves. They want to have a certain position. They want to have a certain sense of power. And what the enemy does with these names and with these positions is that he uses flattery. And I say this especially to our young sisters. If you meet a young man and all he does is flatter you, look out. Look out. Because this is what the enemy does. And there are many today, they come along and say, oh man, you're great, man. You're wonderful. Oh. And they say all these things to flatter you, to lure you into a sense that you think that you are so great, you're so wonderful, and what happens is you forget about the Lord. Be careful. When the enemy sees you going ahead, be careful. And then it says he changed the name of Hananiah, which meant in the Hebrew, the grace of our God. Now he changed it to Shadrach, which means young friend of the king. Now this is another trick of the enemy. Because what the enemy wants you to do is to forget the training and what you have learned. And to remember those in politics or remember something else. I tell you, never forget the Bible verses that you learned in Sunday school. Never forget the topics and the themes that you learned at camp. Never forget the things that your parents taught you. You know, I used to think my parents were like, they don't get it. But then you become a parent and you realize they did get it. You know, it's just like I said at the men's purity conference. I said, something strange happened to me along the way. I'm like that Progressive commercial. I turned into my parent. Because you realize that a lot of the things that your parents were telling you all along, guess what? They were right. But the enemy wants you to forget what you learned in Sunday school, what you learned as a child, what your parents instilled in you. Don't forget that. Don't forget. And I tell you, when you honor your parents, the Lord honors you. Don't fall to the trick of the enemy. Then we have Mishael, which in Hebrew means who is like our God. And it was changed to Shadrach, a little sheep. You know, who is like our God? It reminds us of the greatness of God. God is great. God is wonderful. But the world wants us to be like a little sheep. You know what the world is telling you? Hey, you know, you gotta be cool. You gotta have that disposition of a little sheep. You gotta focus on nature and look at the natural beauty. You know, you gotta be in such a state. You know, when I remember when I was leaving New York, we had a company that came in that they had hired, and they introduced something called Falun Dafa, and they wanted the workers at the hospital who felt stressed, they wanted them to have a room where they can meditate. And they want you to say, listen, don't focus on others. Focus on yourself. You can only help others if you help yourself. Focus on yourself. And you know what happened? God is totally left out the trip. This is another trick of the enemy. Just take care of yourself. Don't worry about others. Don't worry about trying to fix anything. Fix yourself. You're more important than anyone else. What a trick. And then there is Azariah, helped of God. Man, how many times has God helped us? If you count his blessings, does that song count your blessings? Name them one by one. I tell you, if we had to count our blessings, I think we'd run out of numbers. Just driving here is a blessing. Just sitting here in this room where we can open God's word is a blessing. What a blessing. God is great. And he has helped us in so many ways. But he said he changed his name to Abednego, which means the servant of Nebo, not the servant of the Lord, the servant of Nebo. This world wants you to become a servant to it, a slave to this world. And we see it, unfortunately. What's the latest iPhone? What's the latest car? What's the greatest thing? Oh, I see my neighbor with this. I can't let him have that. Man, he just bought a Mercedes and I'm driving an old Toyota. Man, I'm doing something wrong. And what happens is you get caught up in the things of this world. I know, especially when I was in New York, I know people that all they did was work. And they never spent time with their family. They never spent time at the meeting. They never spent any time because they felt that they had to keep up with the Joneses. And they became servants to this world. Listen, the Lord will provide. I'm not saying that you shouldn't want good things. You shouldn't want a nice home. I'm not saying that. Don't say, oh, Brother Verrill said go live in a shack. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying drive a jalopy. I'm not saying that either. All I'm saying is do not be a servant to this world and caught up with the things of this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I think when we recognize that this world is not our home, it will change the way we look at things, the way we feel, and the way we see things. You see, this is what the enemy does, and the enemy does this to our young people especially. The king hoped that by changing their names, he would change their faithfulness. But you know what? They didn't have their faithfulness changed. You know why? Because these young men had a special diet. And I'm not talking about keto. They had a special diet. You see, what happens with this world is that the world has its own special meats. And the king had these meats. And what they did was, these meats were used to dull the spiritual perception of these young men. Their perception of things that are right and wrong became dull if you were to take of these meats. And you start questioning what's right and what's wrong. Well, and you start hearing, well, is it so bad to do this? What's really wrong with that? Well, and then you start saying, well, does the scripture really say that? You know, the Lord said, it is written. You know what the enemy says? Is it written? Is it? And you start questioning what's right and what's wrong. And then the wine of this world. The wine of this world is used for intoxication. And what happens is it causes you a spirit of forgetfulness. And you forget. But saints, I'm saying to you, and we had it this morning, never forget how much Jesus loves you. Never forget how much it cost the Savior to come down from the heights of glory. Never forget what he suffered on that cross of Calvary. Never forget that he's no longer in a tomb. Never forget that he is risen. Never forget. But the world wants us to forget our Savior. And he wants to give us the intoxication of this world. You know, it is intoxicating. The things of this world can be very intoxicating. But it causes us to forget. You know, in Jeremiah 24, verse 5, they talked about the four Hebrew servants. And Jeremiah compared these four Hebrew servants to good figs. Why? Why did he compare them to good figs? Because when the spies returned in numbers, they brought back the eschal cluster of grapes and the pomegranate of the figs. Like I said before, this world is not our home. And we're looking for that greater place. The place where the pomegranate of the figs. The place where they brought back the grapes from Eschol. The promise. Our eyes must never be on the true wilderness, but on that Canaan land. You know, the prodigal son unfortunately realized this too late. He wasn't focused on these foods. You know what he ended up eating? The husks that were fed to the pigs. And he realized it too late that when all the money was gone and all the good times were gone, all his so-called friends were gone too. And all he had left were the husks that they served the pigs. You know, it is believed that Jeremiah had such an impact on the life of Daniel, and that Daniel read the words of Jeremiah. And the words of Jeremiah came after much prayer, much confession, much supplication. That's what the word does for us. We should be found feeding on God's word. And when we're found feeding on God's word, we'll be like Daniel, realizing, boy, we need to confess. We need to be found more in prayer. And we need to supplicate the throne of God. The Babylonian ambassador in Isaiah came. And he came and he asked Hezekiah, he says, What have you seen in their house? It's like, what a question. What have you seen in their house? But I say that to me, especially, and my family. What's in my house? Can the Lord come there and be pleased? We make so much provision for our children, and we should. You know, we think about where they're going to go to school, and we think about what jobs they're going to have, and we really care about our children, and we care about their future, which we really should. But are we asking about their soul salvation? Not the possessions of the world, but are they possessing the things of Christ? Are we passing on the things of the Lord to them? Education is wonderful. Don't get me wrong, I went through a lot of schooling myself. But you know what? Don't lose the schooling from God. God's school, what He has been teaching you, what He showed you, the possessions of this world will bring us naught. You know, I trust that we do not follow or fall to the tricks of the enemy. He wants us to forget. He wants us to have a name. He wants us to think only about ourselves. He doesn't want us to be servants of the Lord. He wants us to be servants of the enemy wants us to be servants of the world. But there's no greater joy than serving the Lord. You know, I listened to the letter that Brother Bill read this morning, and I found a line in it very interesting. I was listening. It said that a servant in today's world has a negative connotation. Nobody wants to be a servant. It sounds like a bad word. But I tell you, there is nothing. It's not easy. It's not easy. There's been many nights I've stayed up late. It's not easy serving the Lord. But there is nothing like it. There's no joy like leading someone to the Lord. Have you ever led someone to the Lord? Man, there's no joy like it. There's no joy like praying for a loved one and seeing that loved one come to know the Lord and Savior. There's no joy like praying and seeing God answer prayers. What a joy to know that we not only have a prayer hearing, but a prayer answering God. There's joy that's found in the Lord. So let's not fall to the enemy. Let's be found in the Word. And I just want to say this. I said at the beginning that I didn't want to look at the book of Daniel because of a past experience. But I tell you something that helped me is that before the meeting, because I didn't really know or understand Daniel, I found myself reading and preparing. And I tell you, when I got to the reading and the ministry meeting, it made a difference. And I'm just saying to you and encouraging you that whatever topic you're studying, I'm not sure what topic you're studying, John's Gospel, take some time out and read before the meeting. There's some wonderful commentaries. Brother Larry Rosen sits next to me at meeting at night, and all the time he's passing me, "Oh, you got to read this by Kelly on this subject. You got to read that." And I really appreciate it. "Oh, you got to read this one. McIntosh said this, or this one said that." And when you find yourself preparing and reading before, it makes a difference. You know, we do homework for school. I just encourage us to do homework for the meeting as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well, because I see that it has been a great encouragement and a great help to me as well. So once again, saints, I thank you. My family thanks you for prayer. And we thank you that we could have come and visited today. And we trust that we would continue to pray one for another, and that we would continue to go on for the things of this world, of this life for the Lord Jesus. That we put the world behind us and Christ before us. The world behind me, the cross before me. And we go on for His sake. Let's just close out in prayer. Our blessed Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can open up your scriptures and find encouragement. Lord, we ask that we would ever be so vigilant that we would not fall to the snares of the enemy. That we would recognize that this world is not our home. That we're just passing through, and that we look forward to that much better place. Lord, how we look for that day when you would come and take us to be with yourself. Oh, what a day that will be when with thee, Lord, we shall see. To look upon your face, the one who saved us by his grace. Lord, how we thank you. And we pray for each one here. We thank you for each family that is gathered here at Mawa. We pray for each member, each child, each family. Lord, we ask that you would keep each one, put a hedge around them. And we pray especially for the assembly here at Mawa, that they would go on for thee, that you would provide a blessing here at this assembly, and we ask that they would continue to be a blessing to others. Lord, we thank you, and we would ask for safe travel, journey, and mercies. We thank you and give you all the praise in your name. Amen.
Amen.